on Acts chapter 7. We're looking at Stephen's message to those that are about to kill him. Acts chapter 7 and verse 8. In this message, he's speaking to the council. It's going to be a bunch of Jews. And he basically recounts Israel's history. And in that, he says in verse 8, and he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And we're going to stop there. We'll continue through Acts chapter 7 after we finish looking at the Abrahamic covenant. But I wanted us to just gain a little bit of understanding about it. The Abrahamic covenant embraces all the other covenants. It deals with the Palestinian covenant, which deals with the land, the Davidic covenant, which deals with the throne, and the new covenant, which deals with our heart or salvation. So the Abrahamic covenant encompasses all of those. And that's where we've been looking. But specifically, what is mentioned here in verse 8, he says he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And as Stephen is speaking here, he speaks of the covenant of circumcision. It is a covenant that God is going to be a God to Abraham and his physical seed. Let's go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17, verse 7, God says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." So this is a covenant that he's going to be a God to Abraham and his physical seed. He says that, "I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations." So between me and you, Abraham, and between me and your seed after thee. So he's speaking about Abraham's physical seed. He's going to be a God to Abraham and his physical seed. This is the covenant of circumcision now that we're looking at that Stephen was talking about as he's about to be martyred. They will also be given the land as an everlasting possession. If we move down to verse 8, he says, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." So he says he's going to give the land to Abraham and to his seed after him. So this land is promised to Abraham and to his seed, and God says it's an everlasting possession. So they're going to be given this land as an everlasting possession. Now the seal of the covenant is circumcision. Verse 9 says, "And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you." So this is the seal of it, is going to be circumcision. So this is something that was given to Abraham's physical seed. He said, "Abraham, you're going to get this land, and the physical seed is going to get this land." Now, has that happened? Well, Abraham definitely hasn't gotten the land. Let's go back to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 5, it says, "And he gave him none inheritance in it, not so much as to set his foot on, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child." So he didn't even get one square foot to put his feet on. But God promised he's going to get it. So he hasn't yet gotten it. So that promise is still there. It's to Abraham and to Abraham's seed. In the context of Genesis chapter 17, when it's speaking of his seed, it's speaking of his physical seed, which is going to be the Jews. That's who's going to get the land. It's an everlasting possession. The seal of this covenant, or the sign of the covenant, is circumcision. That's something that's required for the Jews. All right, that's the sign that he says, here, this is going to be yours. Okay, and this is the sign between me and you. That's what's going to make this sign. So we're looking at the permanency of the covenant. Let me say this as well. A lack of obedience cuts the individual off, but it does not negate the covenant. Okay, let's look. Go back to Genesis 17 if you saved it. Genesis chapter 17, and we're going to be in verse 14. He just talks more about circumcision, doing it the eighth day. Anyone that is born in your house or that you buy needs to be circumcised. Again, he says, my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. In verse 13, then verse 14, and the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. So that individual is going to be broken off. They're not going to be apart. Okay? So they had to follow God. They had to obey God if they wanted to receive of the promise that he gave. They had to do what God was saying. If they didn't do that, they couldn't receive it. All right? It was for that individual person. All right? They'd be cut off from his people. But it does not negate the covenant because it's an everlasting covenant. As we've read, it says, verse 8, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. Verse 7 says the same thing. It's going to be an everlasting covenant. We see this is the promise of it. God's the one that's going to hold on to this. God's the one that's going to keep it. Verse 13, he says the same thing. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Okay, but they can separate themselves from it. They don't have to receive it if they don't do it by faith. By faith, they had to do what God said. They had to be circumcised. That was an act of obedience, but it demonstrated their faith. And it's the same way for us. If we want the promises that God has offered, we have to come to them by faith. And faith is lived out. Faith is not something fake that is just talked about. That person has such great faith, but they don't obey God. No, they don't have great faith. Amen. They have miserable faith. They don't have faith. Okay, faith is obedience to God. This is Abraham, the father of our faith. Okay, Father Abraham. That we call him Father Abraham. The Bible tells us he's the Father Abraham. Okay, he's the example. He is a great example of what faith is. Faith obeys God. That is biblical faith. Nothing else is biblical faith.
That's right.
Nothing else. If someone doesn't obey what God says, they do not have faith. Amen. Period. Okay, faith is not a blind leap in the dark. Faith is not just, oh, we're just going to trust God for this one. Just saying that. Man, I know lost people that say that.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, I know lost people that say that. Oh, it's in his hands. But they don't care at all what the Word of God says. They mock what the Word of God says. Their life is contradictory to what the Word of God says. That's not faith.
Amen.
So if we want the promises, we have to receive them by faith. See, I think the Bible says that without faith, it's improbable. It's very difficult to please God. No, it says it's impossible. Hebrews 11:6. The hall of faith. You know Abraham's in there, by the way.
Right.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God without faith. And what is faith? Just read through Hebrews chapter 11, and you're going to see people that God told them to do something, and guess what? They did it.
Amen.
That is biblical faith.
Right.
Biblical faith is not ignoring what God says and then talking about God and saying how great God is, and we're just going to trust God. But you don't do what he says. You don't trust him. If you're not going to do what he says, you're not trusting him. Period. Now, think about the Jew that wants to reject circumcision.
Right.
Are they trusting God? Oh, I love God. God's my everything, but they don't obey him? What happened to them if they didn't follow the promises that God had given? Okay, what does it say? And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. And everyone says, he's lost. That's not what it says.
Amen.
It says he's cut off from his people. It says, you don't get these promises. You don't get to partake of these promises here that are offered. This is how it was for the Jew. They had to be circumcised if they wanted the promises. Now, I'm going to make an application today that other people have made, but it's false what they do. But I think you'll see what I'm saying. Okay, to hold up, to prop up that baptism saves you, they equate baptism with circumcision. Okay, and they're not equal, and I'm not even going to get into all that right now. So if you're confused about that, come see me later. We can talk about it, okay? But I'm not going to get into all that right now because that'll sidetrack this whole thing, okay? But the Jew had to obey God to demonstrate their obedience. Are we on the same page, everybody?
Yeah.
We're on the same page. Jew had to obey God to demonstrate their obedience. So to partake of the promises that he offered, they had to do it by faith. Faith is to obey what God says. God says all the males need to be circumcised the eighth day. Okay, this is how we show that we, the sign of the covenant, that we are agreeing with God, that God is right and we trust Him, we believe His promises. He says that this will be given, this land's going to be given to us one day. We believe that. How do we know we believe it? Because we circumcise all our boys on the eighth day. That's how we do it. And the girls were just put in on that because they didn't get circumcised, but they demonstrate when the lady says, yes, and my boy needs to be circumcised, they're demonstrating their faith in what God says. Even though each lady wasn't circumcised, she had to say, yes, I want my son to be circumcised the eighth day. I mean, let's put it like a picture like this, okay? Let's say this lady's she's married, she's going to have a baby, her husband dies while she's pregnant, and then now it's up to her. She's the one kind of leading the home now because there's no husband, so she's leading the home, and then she gives birth to this child. Does that mean she's out because she can't get circumcised? No, she demonstrates her faith in what God has said by saying, hey, my child, hey, tomorrow's the eighth day, we need him circumcised. She demonstrates her faith in the promises and she exercises faith just like anybody else. She has to keep the promises. She has to obey what God says. If you don't, then that soul is cut off. Okay, you with me? How's that any different than from somebody in New Testament times that rejects the baptism that God says you have to have? How's it any different? Guess what? You don't get to partake of the inheritance.
Amen.
You're outside of the kingdom. Do we understand that? Somebody that doesn't have New Testament baptism is not a part of a New Testament church is outside of the kingdom. They don't have the promises that God has offered. I didn't say they're lost. I said they don't have the promises. They're rejecting what God has said. They're in disobedience. That is not faith. That's the opposite of faith. They're not following God. So they're cut off from the promises. Why? By their own willful rejection of what God has said. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God without faith. And faith is obedience to what God says. You don't believe me? Look in the hall of faith. Read through Hebrews chapter 11 and look at what those people did. And it's always after God asked them to do something. God had them do something. They did it. They followed God's word. They obeyed God's word. Again, looking at the Abrahamic covenant, the lack of obedience cuts the individual off but does not negate the covenant, all right? The permanency of the covenant, it was an unconditional covenant for the following reasons. Abraham was not involved in the signing of it. Let's go to Genesis 15, Genesis chapter 15. He was not involved in the signing of it. I know we touched on some of this before. I want us to understand this. Again, when we were talking about when two men would come before, and there's examples in the Bible you can look at of a covenant between two men, I mean, talking about two humans on earth, what they would do is they would have an animal, they'd have a sacrifice, and they would cut the animal in half, and both those men would walk through between that animal as a sign of saying that, hey, if we break this covenant, this is what should happen to one of us. All right, it's this serious. We are holding ourselves bound by this covenant, and whatever witnesses are there between you and me and God, and we are walking through this thing together in agreement that we are going to hold each other to this. Now, when it comes to the Abrahamic covenant, Abraham didn't go through, only God did. So therefore, it's not dependent on Abraham keeping up his end of the bargain. It's dependent on God Amen. Keeping his end of the bargain. Just like our salvation, we're in God's hand. It's up to him keeping up his end of the bargain. It's not like, well, I get saved by grace and then I keep it by works. Nope. I get saved by grace and it's kept by grace because God does it all. All right, I'm in his hand. You're in his hand if you're saved. That's how it works now, okay? So Genesis chapter 15, verse 8 says, and I may jump around a bit, but he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. All right, we're going to skip down a bit. Verse 17, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Nah, I missed something. Sorry, let me find it. Okay, I skipped too far ahead. Verse 12, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. So Abraham's asleep, okay? Now jump down to verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And he goes down and explains it. But God was the only one that passed through, therefore God's the one that keeps the covenant. So Abraham was not involved in the signing of the covenant. Also, God said it would be everlasting. We've read several of those verses that deal with that. Genesis 17:7, 17:8, 17:13, and 19 all say the same thing, that it is going to be an everlasting covenant. So God promised that it would be. So based on the promise of God, we believe then that it will be an everlasting covenant. All right. Though the covenant was based on Abraham's obedience, let's look at Genesis 22:18, Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18. It says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So though the covenant was based on Abraham's obedience, nowhere is it conditioned upon Abraham's or his descendants' obedience. Because it's an everlasting, unconditional covenant. God's the one that's going to keep it. Now, it was based, God said, okay, Abraham, because you've obeyed my voice, I'm going with you. That's kind of how it worked out, but it's not conditioned on Abraham's obedience, okay? The covenant was confirmed in total to Isaac. So the same thing Abraham heard, Isaac heard the same thing. Go to Genesis 26, verses 2 through 4. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abram thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So the promise is given to Isaac. It's also given to Jacob. Go to Genesis 28, 13. Genesis 28, 13. And it's given to them without conditions. Genesis 28, 13. And behold, the Lord stood above and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So it's unconditional. There's no conditions. And there's also some other scriptures that declare it to be everlasting. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 16. First Chronicles 16, 16. It says, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law unto Israel for an how long? Everlasting covenant. So same thing, it's everlasting. Go to Psalm 105. Psalm chapter 105. Psalm chapter 105, verse 8. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law unto Israel for an everlasting covenant. Now go to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. We want the verse 35. Jeremiah 31, 35. This is a pretty strong promise here. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. That's a pretty strong promise right there, that the nation Israel is going to be in existence. But just again, just seeing it's everlasting, this promise is given to these people, okay? Now, if some of the promises made by the Abrahamic covenant have not yet been fulfilled, then it follows they are yet to be fulfilled. All right, so if they haven't been fulfilled yet, then the only option is it's still yet future. It's still prophetic, okay? Now, Israel has a future. I mean, we just read that there in verses 35 through 37. If heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. So if we can measure the heavens and if the foundations of the earth can be searched out beneath, God says that I'm going to cast off all the seed of Israel. That must mean that we can't measure the heavens, which is true. We can't. We've tried. We can't. We just know it's expanding. That's about as far as it goes, but we don't know how big it is. All right. God can measure the heavens with the span. That's from thumb to pinky. That's the span right there. And God can measure the heavens. You ever looked out in the sky? I remember as a kid looking out in the sky and thinking, man, how far is that? It just looks like it goes on forever. And God can just go, yeah, it's that big. That's how big God is. And it keeps expanding. So it's like he can just go, it's that big, and his finger just keeps going. I don't know, but he's God, right? God can measure the heavens with the span. All right. So these are still yet to be fulfilled. Israel has a future. This is evident from the prophecies concerning the nations regathering into the land. Let's look at these. The nation of Israel, go to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. Now remember, who was the Abrahamic covenant given to? To Abraham, right? To who else? And you can't answer. Who else was the Abrahamic covenant given to? To his seed. Who is that? The Jews, right? The bloodline descendants of Abraham. Okay, let me put it like that. Bloodline descendants of Abraham. That's who the promise is given to, okay? So, if some of these things haven't yet been fulfilled, then they're still yet future. All right, now remember, Abraham never got to touch. I mean, he never owned one square foot. He couldn't stand on it just like that and say, this is mine right here in Canaan. He never got to do that. His seed still, bloodline Jews still do not possess everything that God said they were going to have. They never have. They've never possessed everything that God said they were going to have. So if that hasn't happened yet, and God said it's going to be to you and to your seed, it's an everlasting covenant, right? Then that means it's still future, correct? Then that tells us that God is not done with Israel. Okay? With bloodline descendants of Abraham. All right, now we're here in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. And this is speaking, if you look in Isaiah, it's speaking of the millennial reign. Verse 1 says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This is speaking about who? Okay. Let's get a little more specific. It's capital branch. Jesus. Okay. He's the anti-type of David. Okay. He is the prophetic David. He's going to sit on David's throne. Okay. This is who it's speaking about. This is in the millennial reign. If you go down just a bit, verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Okay, we know it's speaking of the millennial reign because there's not going to be all that death that there was there before. All right, so now we get into verse 12. It says, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So they're going to be gathered together. Who? The outcasts of Israel, and he's going to gather together the dispersed of Judah. Well, I'm not from Judah or any of the other 11 tribes. But bloodline descendants of Abraham are going to be gathered together. That's what this is talking about. All right, go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Now remember, when we compare Scripture with Scripture, all right, that's what we have to do. So we go back to the Abrahamic covenant when it was given. And we'll get to this in a bit, but understand that it was to Abraham and to his seed. Okay, and what was the sign that this was an everlasting covenant? What was it? Circumcision. Who gets circumcised? But who? Jews. Okay, Jews get circumcised. Okay, so this is a promise to Jews. All right, this is who this promise is to. We need to understand that. We need to remember that, all right? So Ezekiel 37, we're going to read kind of a bigger bit here, but let's pick up in verse 15. Now again, it's hard not to jump in a little bit ahead of this, but the Valley of Dry Bones, and Ezekiel's told to prophesy or to preach to this Valley of Dry Bones, okay? And he starts preaching, and then these dry bones start coming together, and then they get sinews and they get flesh. So they start, you know, all the joints and stuff are being put together, and then life is breathed into them, okay? And now they have life as well. They're not just a dead body basically there, but now they have life, okay? So this Valley of Dry Bones, verse 11, God tells us what this picture is, what these dead bones coming together represent. God defines it for us. We don't have to guess and say, well, I think it's this. No, he tells us what it is. Verse 11, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are, somebody help me, what does it say? The whole house of Israel. Okay, they're the whole house of Israel. All right, so they're going to come back together. Isn't that what we just read in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12? They're going to be from the four corners. Right? Judah's going to be brought. They're going to be brought together. This is what it's talking about. It's the whole house of Israel. Okay, now pick up in verse 15. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. All right, and that's how many times that usually the 10 tribes, it's usually Judah and Benjamin, and then you have Ephraim's going to be the other 10 tribes. That's many times how they'll be referred to, okay? So it's talking about really the whole house of Israel, okay? All of them, when they're together, this is what it's talking about, okay? For Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Verse 17, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall be become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into where? Their own land. Now, is this us? How do we know? How do we know? That's right. The context tells us it's the whole house of Israel. It's Jews. Help me. Give me a verse that we've just read that kind of is going to say some of that. Give me a verse. All right, read it. All right, so we're talking about the children of Israel. That's not us. Right? Okay, when we go back, who's Ezekiel's people? Okay, Ezekiel's been in the dispersion. They've been, you know, sent out. I don't know why the word has left me, but they've been taken from their land, the captivity. You know, this is where Ezekiel's prophesying from. I mean, they're not even in the land right now. But he says, I'm going to take the whole house of Israel. All right, all of the house of Israel. All right. Whither they be gone, will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. All right. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. So there's not going to be two kingdoms. There's going to be one now. They're not going to have a bunch of different kings. Okay. There's going to be one king over them. All right. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. Now look at that, because some people get confused and they think every time the word saved comes up in the Bible, it's talking about salvation from sin, okay, being justified. But here's a case where it is not. All right, so we have to think when we read our Bible sometimes, and just because it says saved, it's not talking about their salvation from the penalty of their sin. As we think heaven and hell, okay, it's not talking about that. He says, I'm going to save you from the places of idolatry. I'm going to pull you out of that. Why? Because this is when the new covenant comes in. He says, I'm going to give you a new heart. Okay, that's why we know this hasn't happened yet, because the Jews rejected their Messiah. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So it's not talking about when Jesus came the first time they rejected him. It's talking about when he comes the second time. Well, how do we know that? Well, because none of this has happened yet. Because Israel's still spiritually lost. This is all prophetic. This valley of dry bones, he says, it's the whole house of Israel. That's who it is. It's the whole house of Israel. And they're right now, they are being brought back. Okay, we can see the bones coming together. Now they're a nation. It happened in 1948. Yep. I mean, we're living in Bible times. Ezekiel 37 is happening before our eyes, I'm telling you. Right? We're just waiting for them to get that breath of God in them. It says in verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now they have that spiritual life. Now there's life in them. And that'll happen when Jesus Christ comes back, okay? And that's when those that aren't already there are going to be all gathered in, okay? All right, so neither shall they defile themselves anymore. So we know this hasn't happened yet with their idols. They have one of the biggest sodomite festivals there in Tel Aviv, Israel, every year in the world. Okay, they've still got their idols. They've rejected Jesus Christ. Most Jews are secular Jews, and they're atheists. They don't even believe in God, most of them. That's where most of them are at, okay? Or they're cultural Jews, and they just do these things just like everyone in America celebrates Christmas, but Christ means nothing to them, okay? It's that same type of thing, all right? They're just cultural Jews. That's all they are, all right? So they're not going to defile themselves anymore. I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God, and David my servant shall be king over them. Who's it talking about? Who's going to be their king? Christ, all right? David, I think, is going, King David, the first King David, okay, is actually, I believe, going to be a co-regent as well, but that's another story, okay? But I think it's speaking of Christ, and they all shall have one shepherd. Who's that going to be? Amen. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them, and they shall dwell in the land. Look at that. Where are they going to dwell? Help me, what does it say? All you have to do is read it out loud. One person, just read it out loud. They'll dwell where? In the land. Amen. All right, they're going to dwell in the land. What land? Israel, Canaan, what's called the promised land, right? What does this take us back to? There we go, the Abrahamic covenant. It was an everlasting covenant, right? So even though they've been dispersed, they've been taken out of their land, God says, I'm going to bring you back and you're going to get what? Your land. See, we've never been taken out of the land. That's not ever been our land. It's never been promised to us. So we don't get to go back in. Is everyone with me? You guys following me or is everyone falling asleep? Should I turn the air down? I can turn the air down. Yes? Who is saying like, I'm not moving? Because if most of you are like, I'm not moving, then it's like, yeah, I'm going to turn it down. No, my wife's going, no. Miss Robin's going, no. All right, we'll leave it. Oh, you say no. All right, then answer back to me so I know you guys are getting it, okay? Because I wanted everyone to get this. All right? So they're going to come back into the land. They shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant. Now, what are they called? We call Jews what? What's another name for them? Israel, right? Where did they get that name? Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. Now look at that. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children. For how long? Help me, somebody. Forever. They're going to dwell there forever. Why? Because it's a what? What type of covenant? An everlasting covenant. An everlasting covenant. This is what they're going to get. It's going to be theirs. So it's still future. They still have a future. This has not been fulfilled yet. All right? They're going to dwell there forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify who? When my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Look at that. There's so much there. There is so much there that I can't get into. I don't have time to get into now. But there is so much there that for they're going to be there in his kingdom. Amen. That's what that just said. Who? Israel. Israel, that's still future. That's still future, all right? Let's go to Amos chapter 9. Famous Amos. Amos chapter 9. When you get there, say, Hakka Gondola. Kiko, you're not there? All right, Amos chapter 9, verse 14 now. Amos 9, 14 says, and I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. There it is. My people of Israel. And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land. Whose land? Who's the there? Israel. Israel, that's the who the theirs land is. And they shall no more be pulled out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. So they're not going to be pulled out of it again. Well, they're not all in it right now. So that's still yet future, okay? So Israel still has a future. Oh, man. All right, I'm going to stop right here because if I get into more of this, it'll just get to be, it'll take too much explanation for me to go any further. Now, we've looked at a lot of this stuff here, but what I'm going to get into next, I'm going to wait because it'll probably take me a good little while to develop it. So we'll stop right there, all right? Amen. Let's go ahead and close in prayer.